Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the podcast, which this week is going to be called...
Hang on.
Tomb Book 2.
What?
No?
I don't even get that.
Hertha Berlin Oslo.
No.
Espanol.
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 I like that one.
PSV Eindhoven. Fiorentina.
Don't get that.
Florentina.
Kilrushton Diamonds. Brighton and Cove.
No, come on. We can't be listing every fucking thing and people send in to us. Yes. We'll be here all right. Espanol.
What about Clifton Palace?
Moving on to the next session of the...
Moving on. Well, I'm so glad we've got someone here in control of the situation.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Do you think that you'll ever be fit again?
I'd love to be.
It's a fucking question time with Tommy Tiernan.
But isn't it a good question? Like,
Jeremy Paxman here.
When were we ever fit in the first place?
Well, I remember being a Gostan now and you were just, you're just naturally tremendously fit. I remember one afternoon myself and a fella called Paul. He was English. He was a cousin of someone that had come over for the holidays. And we were just sitting somewhere in Tritown Heights, which is a housing estate on the nice side of Navan. And next thing he says to me, we have a race.
Mm.
I says, okay. And he says, where we run to? And we come up with a 10-mile circuit out towards the race course, took a right at Kilberry, down then towards Dunamore, and from Dunamore and the Round Tower back in. No training.
Yeah.
No hydration.
What age were you?
Yeah, about 12 or 13.
We took it for granted. You take it for granted at the time when you're fit.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking that the other day and you're like, oh my God, it was no problem to just go to training 3 times a week and just run and not think about it. Now it's like, oh God.
So do you think, like, the last time I was fit, I got fit about 2 years ago and I was fit for about a week and a half.
Hector's fit anyway.
No, I'm running a bit. I'm running more than I've ever ran in my life.
I was fit for a week and a half, sorry.
I was fucking, but I told you this before, when I found that the fitter I got, the more I thought about it.
Yeah.
Where now I'm on a no exercise vibe at all.
It's only a couple of months ago I saw you running in. Remember I was going to stop the car and jump into a hedge. And
I had the weightlifting gloves on.
Yeah, the weightlifting gloves already. I hate people with those.
My vibe at the minute is no exercise. Just my body will be the shape of my lifestyle.
Yeah,
so
but
the only exercise I get is I lift the odd coal scuttle. Now they'd be heavy enough, and I wouldn't. We have two fireplaces in the house, one upstairs and one downstairs, and I'd bring it into the, I'd let one of the children do the upstairs. One, because that's hard in the thighs.
Yeah.
And
bicep curls with the kettle.
Yes, and I do a good 2 mile walk with the dogs most days.
Yeah.
But that's it. No more exercise and no more sit ups, no more crunches, no more looking at my biceps in the mirror going, can anybody else see them? Look at them, the legendary lumps. None of that. No Garmin watches timing myself. Oh, geez, I'm 10 seconds off my pace today. None of that horse shite. Some exercise is a form of self loathing. You're just using it to give out to yourself. I go walking in me tweed trousers up the bog road with the dog, and that's it. Lift a coal scuttle. No more exercise.
But you also have a very disciplined diet. So you like said last week, if you ate Like, you monitor what you eat very closely.
I weigh myself every morning.
Yeah, you see, he's gone to the extreme. See? He's on the food.
So that's a different type of training. So that's mental training.
Colon aesthetics is what you're doing there, Tommy. You're eating properly and you're shaping your
That'd
body.
That'd be a good name for Oliver Callan's next show, wouldn't it?
What?
Callan aesthetics. You're using your body, you're shaping your body because you watch what you eat.
Yes.
And you're just
That's
doing,
the only way to get into
You're just
mouth.
Doing your normal life.
See, yeah. I'm eating, I have a higher input than I have output.
So you're taking on board more and you're not
burning it.
Okay.
So see, that's a problem.
Answer the question. When was the last time you were fit and will you ever be fit again?
I was the fittest I've ever been when I was doing breakfast radio. When I was on the breakfast radio on 2FM.
What time did you get up at?
20 past 5. Oh man, Jesus, when I think back, I used to remember I'd get in for I'd have me porridge watching the Sky Sports 6:30 in the morning.
I have a question for you. Now, you sleep in the nip. Everyone in the country knows that.
Yeah.
Yes.
You sleep
I do. Yes, I do, Tom.
So tell me this now.
Put your hand on my hand here.
Stop.
I do, Tom.
The question I have for you is this. So when you were getting up at 5:30 in the morning in the nip,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
and you're going down for the porridge, when would you start putting clothes on? Like, would you be at the table there with the
oats, little flakes? No. The key to breakfast radio in early morning and the early morning risers, the soldiers of the dawn that get up every morning and get the country going, and they're out there in their thousands.
Yes,
the milkmen and the breadmen and the lorry drivers and the couriers and the reps
and the magic mushroom pickers
and the drug dealers. And they're the people that get the country running at 6 a.m. So I would have me jocks, socks, jeans, t-shirt almost ready at the end of the bed.
Just jump straight into them.
Yeah.
I'd be afraid then as I move out of one door onto the landing, I'd be afraid of the creak. There's a magic creak just as you turn around from the first toilet.
Yes.
And I'd skip over that. I used to love going in and tuck it in, not Rain, because he's a big boy, but Shaney was only about 12, and I'd go into him, his quilt. He'd be lying totally, completely diagonal from the way he should be lying. He'd be perpendicular, upside down, with no quilts on him, just tucked in. And I'd always go in and put the quilt over him at about 5:30, 6 a.m, because daddy's going to work. And then I would tiptoe down in the nip, because I'd have me close my hands down the stairs.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd throw me clothes into the sitting room.
The boxes go on the stairs.
The boxes go on down, on the stairs. I'd get the porridge in the boxers. And then I dress myself up watching a bit of Sky Sports at 6:15.
Okay, and then into work.
Into work.
And then, so how were you at your fittest?
Because straight after work, I started going to the gym and I went mad into the gym. And I went mad into playing squash. I went up, I was going to the Galway Lawn Tennis Club 3 or 4 times a week playing squash. Started getting mad into it. It's double yellow spot and then one yellow.
That's a drink. That's what I order in the bar.
When you start playing squash, it's the lunging. It's the lunging to the front. It's those little, when you're trying to get back to the middle of the court, I started getting better. And then I go up to UCG and UIG to play lads there. And then I go back to the tennis club. Then I started getting invited. And then I played a tournament. I registered for a tournament after about 2 years. I spent about £300 on a racket, a Dunlop racket from Ahmed Al-Bashaghi, who was the Egyptian number one squash player at the time.
Right.
Started going on.
World number 900, but the Egyptian number one.
The best players, and this is an interesting fact, the best squash players in the world, pound for pound, are Egyptian. It is the national sport of Egypt. When they play, they put these
blinkers on.
Glass, 20 all-sided courts, and they drop them into amazing museums and shopping centres and places, and they play airport terminals, and they play with the whole of Egypt watching in Saudi Arabia. They love it in the air.
It's the handball of Egypt.
Yes. And one of the tournaments, the US Open, they drop it into that amazing train station in New York. What's it called?
Penn Station.
They create the right in the middle of it, and you could be walking around heading for your train to Connecticut, and there's the boys playing squash. And it's incredible. The best players in the world, you want to see their rallies. I got really, really into it.
So you're lifting weights in the gym.
But the fitness I got from lunging at squash, playing with double yellow spot, which doesn't bounce, I was never as toned and never as fit. And I remember we went to the Basque Country on holidays, one of them summers, and one of the boys, I used to play a lot of soccer over there with a team, and one of the lads said to me, "Oye, Hector, ¿quieres? Hay un juego este sábado, si quieres. Do you want to play this Saturday morning?" I said, "I will." And I went down and I dominated.
You were like Messi. Oh,
yeah. And one of the lads said to me in Spanish that I'd known for years, he said, "Hey, Hector, te veo bien, eh? Te veo bien." He says, "Hey, fucking, you're looking good, Hector. You look." I was like a gazelle. Never as fit with squash and gym. And my fitness has sort of dwindled a little bit then. But then I started running. So I'm in a decent, I did 10K on Sunday. I'm in a decent enough place.
Yeah, but it took you 4 hours. So will you ever be fit again?
He started on Sunday and he got
Will you ever
today.
Be fit again?
But we were never professional athletes.
No, would you? No, will you ever be fit again?
But when were we fit, Tommy?
You were fit there when you're doing the squash and the weightlifting.
I will never get back to that because I couldn't be
asked.
Squash, my racket is in the hot press. Yeah. And that's all me gear. I bought these white special
specific trousers.
Specific squash. Shoes that with white plimsolls, and I was mad into it. A 300-pound racket for squash.
It was a racket.
And it's above in the hot press. And all me lovely white Adidas gear. I was going round white because you have to wear white. You can't go in and you have to be properly dressed for squash. I'll never go back to it. Maybe I'll go back for
no
one
more
year.
Than myself. You'd be the same colour as the outfit. White.
So, you were tremendously fit when you were playing ladies football.
Oh, yes. But I took it completely for granted. And I think maybe nowadays people are more conscious of being fit. You know, it's like if you're fit now, you have to share it on social media and you're like, oh my God, just in the gym, look at this. Yeah. But like 10, 12, 15 years ago, you just got fit and you just got on with it.
Yes.
But like now, I wish I could be sharing it on social media.
Every Tom, Dick and Harry is doing something in their sitting room with sit-ups and press-ups and bicep curls and extensions and...
It's a plethora of fools.
I have absolutely zero willpower. I'll start something for a day. Yeah. I'll download an app or I'll watch it and I'll be all about the exercise and I won't be able to walk the next day and I won't be able to walk worse 2 days later, and then I go, ah, fuck it.
The thing that drives me is when I see, okay, if you're at home, okay, let's do the couch, let's get the bottle of water and do the bicep curl during the ad.
Come on, everyone, let's get happy.
Let's
and you're
get
like,
a bicep
oh,
curl with a bottle of water
move.
During the ads.
I lie on the ground then to do a sit up, and I can't get back up off the ground. I'm like, rolling myself around like a sheep and trying to, like, is on its back, trying to get back up. So it's a bad idea for me.
A sheep will die if it ends up on its back.
It will never come back up.
Yes.
Now, what has gone wrong with evolution? That sheep have been here for 45, 50,000 years and they haven't developed...
45, 50,000.
55, 70,000 years there's been sheep and they haven't evolved to this place where the most basic things, if they fall over, they can't get up again.
Yes, I wonder, could they not attach some sort of a weight to the bottom half of them?
No,
how
the only
work?
Way a sheep can get back on his feet is if a hogget noops it with his nose.
Yeah.
Do they have ankles, sheep?
Ankles? No.
Do they have knees?
Yeah.
They do have knees?
Yeah.
All right, okay. You think they do?
Knees and little hooves.
All right, okay. But they don't have fingers?
Not that I know.
Not little hoovings.
They haven't evolved with fingers.
Are you
yet.
Able to genuinely... are you able to genuinely and lovingly accept your unfitness?
I am. No, I'm not at that stage of my life yet.
You're still at war with yourself.
I am. Torture myself.
That's tough country, Larita.
It is.
Would you follow me and Hector into the land of relaxed muscles?
How would I get there? What do I need to do?
It's not an easy journey, but there is.
He's
going
to trust us to say it's all good.
If you'd like the roadmap to find the field of everlasting, what would you call it?
It's cultural.
Everlasting relaxness.
What you need are role models. And I keep saying this, but the clue to Ireland's future is in Asia. And it's India, Delhi Grime. And it's all about people over there. They accept their body sizes. They wear sheets. It's not about tight trousers with the fucking the muff on top falling over. It's just about...
I'm going to wear a sheet from now on.
No, there's beautiful sari sheets. Yes.
Beautiful colours on you, Larita. We'll get a diamond. Barefoot. We'll get a diamond drilled into your forehead. Stuck
and
fast.
Do they do belly dancing as well?
Oh, you yes. The type of belly dancing they do, you don't even have to move when your belly's dancing. All you have to
Hector,
do is...
Hector, can you get us outfits like that the next time you go
no,
somewhere?
I had a bath last night and I did.
A bath?
I was thinking there was something lively about you this morning, all right?
You're very shiny.
And where I had a bath, there's a really big mirror across. So when I get up out of the bath, I sort of extend myself up and I rise up like an Adonis. And then there's a mirror straight across me and I'd be looking at myself. And sometimes when you get out of the bath, there's a glistening around the six
midriff.
Pack, the midriff and down towards the genital area. And I just stand there looking at me shoulders and I'll go, well, Hector.
Your shoulders.
A lot of work to do.
A lot of work.
a lot done, more
and,
to do.
And then the Epsom salts are caked into my skin and I just step out of the bath and then I fucking slip and break me.
And it's important to remember...
Getting out of the bath now,
oh,
that's
Jesus.
Another thing. It's a difficult
maneuver.
Thing to do.
Dangerous,
honestly,
dangerous,
have you ever tried to get out of a bath? Again, another thing I take for granted.
Obviously, I must have at some stage. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here talking to you.
A bath?
When's the last time you had a
You've
bath?
Asked me, sorry, Louisa asked me, have I ever gotten out of a bath? Oh. I said, obviously, since I'm sitting here talking to you.
I just mean, since you got old, have you ever tried to get a bath? Or, you know, older. I mean,
people have to bathe us now.
No, I'm just saying.
What do you think I have up in the house? One of them baths with a fucking door in it.
Myrna Banny Coyne is waiting there. Wait, come on, tell me.
Those old person baths that you fucking, you let the water out and there's a little fucking latch on the door and you open it.
Yeah, but it's awful hard to get out of a bath now when you get a bit older.
It's dangerous.
It's
just, what you do is, you get up on all fours in the bath.
I wonder if you have to let the water out first.
Throw the leg and the arm over and just slither it.
I do let the water out first just to give me that sense of it's over.
I wonder because, yeah, that's a good idea actually.
Isn't it? Let the water out because then it'll go.
We must accept the shape of ourselves and our unfitness and not be conned into this fucking, this orthodoxy of exercise and body shape.
Let us stand now.
You know, you are what you are. And always remember this. That the person who loves you, the person who's in bed riding you 1, 3, 5, 8 times a week, doesn't really care what shape you are. Oftentimes, the more of you there is, the better.
You know, we're all in this together and we're all in this and every day. For me, it's
who are you, the Minister for fucking Health or something?
We're all in this together, but not me. I'm I said looking
at... You know, they don't write their own speeches.
No.
Of course they don't.
Some fucking officious tool bag is in some office.
You should
coming
write
up with
cliches
to try and keep the
people interested.
Keep the people in tow. Go on anyway.
So I decided.
We're all in this together.
I decided to change.
There's light at the end of the tunnel.
I decided to change efficacy.
But we've no vaccine for anyone.
Efficacy. I decided to change it up last Saturday, and I completely bamboozled them, my wife and me kids, because I said to the missus at about 3 o'clock. I said, "I know what we're having for dinner on a Saturday." And she said, "Are we going to
I love it when you take control
on a Saturday.
Are we going to have that stir fry you do with the ginger and the chopped garlic and the mange tout and that lovely little soy sauce?"
No, your wife was English.
Yes, yeah. What happened to Dibna?
Is she doing
no
some
Claire
new
accent.
Language?
Is this another one you have on the side? You're,
your
English wife.
You're cooking them dinner on a Saturday.
So we went through an awful phase there.
What are you having?
Stir fries. I just wanted to talk about a stir fry with a sexy English voice. Chopped vinegar. But anyway, we had a stir fry. Chopped it's garlic. We had a stir fry.
It's cutting vinegar.
We had a stir fry for the last 6 weeks.
It's bitter, but I didn't know you could
for about 6 weeks after Christmas, we had these
you may as well be
spare
trying to,
ribs.
You may as well be trying to pour a scallion as the fucking chopped vinegar.
We had spare ribs and pineapple rice for about 6 weeks after Christmas.
I got to juice the scallion just now. Put it into the
and we were fed up with the spare ribs and the lovely barbecue sauce. And the
why do they call them spare ribs? Like
because they're left over.
From
the rest of the meat.
Oh.
I think, I don't know.
Like it wasn't like a cow turn, so the farmer says, "Here, I'm not using these fucking."
I said,
"I've about 6 ribs here. You can have."
shuck on that. So go on, sorry.
We had 6 weeks of spare ribs since Christmas with a lovely barbecue sauce, and I said, "Right, we'll try something different." Then we went through a phase of 5 weeks of stir fry, beautiful stir fry, the good soya sauce was lovely, fresh chicken and everything. And then I completely changed it up because I knew everyone was waiting either for the ribs or for the stir fry. And I turned around to them and I went, well, the two boys were down in the village with a few friends playing Astro Turf soccer. And I said to the missus, I said,
but on the next
I completely
again,
bamboozled her. She walked into the kitchen and I went, I think we'll go to the chipper. And she went, what a fucking great idea.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go to the Italian chipper no more called Giovanni's. Well, I sent a text to the two lads. I said, I'm going to Giovanni's. What do you want? The energy that popped off the text. Oh, Jesus Christ. One of them was home in about 14 minutes on the mountain bike. Well, he flung it at the back door and he backed straight in. Who? What? What's happening here, Dad? You go to Giovanni's? I said, yeah, you come for the spin. He said, yes, I am. Right. I said, you take down the order. Whatever you want, I don't give a fuck. Whatever you want, it's Saturday. The other lad was, the other lad came through. Bing, bing, bing. Snack box, garlic sauce, curry sauce, vanilla milkshake. Make sure snack box has got breast of chicken. No salt and vinegar. I said, get that down. All of it. Dipna, what do you want? She goes, I'll have a fresh cotton chips. I said,
I'm hungry now.
I am too.
I said, a fresh cotton chips. I said, Jesus Christ. Shane went, I think I'll have two burgers. He doesn't like any sauce, no onions, no nothing. He says, I'm going to have two burgers, Dad. Two chipper style burgers with no sauce, no onions, and a large chips and a strawberry milkshake. I said, write it down. Well, we got into the car. We were buzzing. He said to me, have you any chewing gum? I said, here, eat some of that. And I put on a bit of Pantera. I said, what music is this? He said, Redemption. He's there. I always say to him,
what did you order?
I said, I'm going to have a fresh cod. We had Pantera on. I said, what type of music is this? He says, it's heavy metal. I said, who are they? He said, it's Pantera. Because I'm trying to get my kids into music that I liked, reggae, metal. So by the time we got to Ormore, outside Giovanni's, there was a fucking queue. I was sitting across, and I said, hello, hello. They wouldn't answer the phone. So I got into the queue.
Disaster.
We have never feasted so much on a Saturday evening when I came home with the bags and I just dropped them on the table.
Steam rising out of the bags.
All you need is a couple of the salt, the pepper, the vinegar from Ezio's in Navan, which I take from every time I go up, I take 5 litres of it. Well, we attacked the fucking fish and chips.
5 litres of vinegar? Who the fuck?
I buy 5 litres. I buy five.
Do you not go to Navan once every 5 years? Like, yeah, why that
when
much?
I go to Ezio's outside Park Tottenham.
Are you selling chips at fucking matches or something? Why are you buying 5 litres of
vinegar?
Because I want it for my own. I have all these plastic bottles and I fill them up then of Ezio's.
And what? Do you give them out to people?
Yes, if you come
well,
to
me and Tommy didn't
but if you come to my house for Friday afternoon, if we have chips, I'll be going. And there's Ezio's vinegar from Navan.
And what, we get to bring it home with us?
Oh, it's magnificent. I'll give you a little bottle that height, if you want, of Ezio's chipper vinegar. So, it came, my fresh cod came and the batter was lovely on it. The chips were magnificent Italian chips. It was in a box. We just didn't speak for about 17 and a half minutes. Well, I had my chips swimming in black pepper, salt, and I swear to God, I turned around to Dipna. The boys went off to the Xbox and I went... Life is fucking good. Life is good. What a treat.
What
we
a fine
what a treat
thing
we had
to do. I would say around about the same time, I wouldn't cook dinner that often now. But I would like to cook more. I do a good burger. I do Jamie Oliver burger. That would be my signature dish.
Right.
But I also do a sweet potato and sausage bake.
Oh, the Jesus
Christ. So I hadn't done it for a while because the kids asked me to stop cooking it there a couple of months ago.
It sounds a bit dry, I have to say.
No, it's not dry because what you do is you have sweet potato, you have red onion, you have loads of stuff in it and the sausages and it's a gorgeous dish, but I would spend a lot of time fretting over it and rereading the instructions because I'd have no confidence I'd have no confidence in the kitchen. So, and it takes me a few days to fucking get ready to go cooking just to get the confidence up, you know, and I went at it and I'm always asking people, I'd be very critical of my own food and I'd lay it out for everybody, what do you think of that, and they'd take a bite, I go, what do you think
for the whole dinner.
Well, let's just say that I was the only one that finished my dinner.
Oh, that's
and
a bad sign.
That everybody else was eating cereal by half eight.
Oh Jesus.
But there's nothing in the world like getting, if Giovanni's, if Ezio's in Navan, Morelli's in Barna do it, the Valley Cafe in Navan.
The Genoa in Drogheda.
The Genoa in Athlone.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Genoa
Cafe. They do decent chips. Real chips from real potatoes.
And Ballina chipper.
There's nothing like it.
Caffolas.
Nothing like it. Yeah.
They have to be Italian, I'd say, do they?
God be good to the decent fucking chip makers of this country. What's your experience of Northern Ireland?
Well... Now,
do you know what I mean?
I noticed this week, which I couldn't believe was actually happening, right? So Rangers won.
Yes.
A Scottish championship.
Yes.
And
did Rangers win or did Celtic fucking collapse? That's the question.
You see what Roy Keane said? They said to him, did you have anything good to say about Rangers? No. But I noticed and I just could not believe it in 2020, whatever year we're in, one, that on the news, on the BBC News that night, right, there were thousands and thousands of people on the streets in the Protestant areas of the north, like Sandy Row and whatever other areas, I don't know. And they were letting off flares and there were smoke. There was thousands of people on the streets.
Yeah.
And the news story in the middle of COVID was just of positivity. Wow, Rangers won. It's brilliant. People were out celebrating on the street.
Yeah.
I just could not believe that in this day and age, that that's all right.
So the cops weren't there. Okay.
They weren't trying to control the environment, the atmosphere. We're not supposed to be gathering. Like, am I missing something?
Did the same thing happen in Glasgow when the Glaswegian Rangers supporters celebrated, or were they broken up as well?
I didn't see that because it was just videos of the north, which blew me away. And I saw that the DUP were trying to get it mentioned in Parliament. And this was just amazing. If Celtic won and all the Celtic supporters were out, there'd be war. The cops would be out. Like, it's awful unfair, and we don't realise it living here in the south of Ireland.
Yeah.
We don't appreciate that.
Well, we don't appreciate what? That Northern Ireland is a sectarian state.
Yeah, it's so suppressive.
Well,
for Catholics up there.
I think it's tit for tat.
There's a lot of areas that probably isn't. And there's a lot of areas you wouldn't know any different in. And there's a lot of communities and rural areas that wouldn't be that way. But I'm saying in the city, like, where, like that.
Well, I'll tell you now. I think.
Did you notice it? Did you see
it? No, I saw the celebrations. I know what you're talking about.
I would do a fair amount of work up there gigging and with the Derry Girls thing as well. And there is every now and again an almost stately blind eye turned to the expression of certain type of loyalist aggression. Okay, I remember being up there on the 12th, and my hotel was right beside Sandy Row, and they had built this fucking twin tower pallet made skyscraper in a bit of derelict ground, and they'd hung a effigy of the president. And they'd hung an effigy of somebody in a Celtic jersey and they burned it. And I just thought that it was fucking ignorant. I thought there was an ignorance. But that's not... But I would work with a lot of Protestant people and they're fucking... I love them.
Oh, yes,
and
of
I would
course.
Work, and I'd, you know, there's a great... we travelled all around the north. And I can say the only time that I've ever felt a bit of a vibe at a gig was maybe... I think I did a gig in Craigavon, maybe 12 or 15 years ago, and there was just a little bit of tightness in the room that's what I put it down to. But gigging in places like Ballycastle, in Lisnaskey, gigging in Enniskillen, gigging in Tyrone and Cookstown and Omagh, you know, where you'd be thinking, okay, because of your name and you're associated with the South, that mainly Catholic people, maybe, you know, but I've even just driving around Fermanagh, driving around Tyrone. And you'd be going into shops and meeting people and chatting. And I would work with lots of security people up there. Nothing but fucking goodness.
Yeah.
You know, nothing but, and real ordinary Irish goodness. And on the set of Derry Girls, you know, where most of the crew would be from a Church of Ireland background. Honest to God, the fucking salt of the earth and decent fucking people. And what struck me about it was, if I'm working with somebody from East Belfast, or you know, or if I'm working from, just say, any Church of Ireland or background up the north, I compare that then to working with somebody from Newcastle or Manchester or Liverpool. You know, I have more in common with the Protestant from Northern Ireland than I do with anybody from England. There is a shared sense of something huge amount of people in Northern Ireland would say we are citizens of the United Kingdom in the same way that people in Newcastle don't have to because it's natural to them.
Yes, yeah.
But this would be a declaration of certain Church of Ireland people. We are citizens of the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
And I would say, yes, you might be. You are. But I have more in common with you than I do with people across the water. And I feel it. I feel it in the interaction and it's fantastic.
It's like we're not that big an island, and I think there's an awful ignorance down here sometimes when we think of the north. We think it could be a million miles away. We grew up an hour from the border in Navan. I mean, There's more people down here that know Marbella and Malaga and Torremolinos and Barcelona better than they do Belfast. I don't think we've given it enough TLC, enough work. I don't think we've visited enough. I don't think we get
the
up.
The Mourne Mountains. We have to go up there. So fucking gorgeous. There's a drive from Newcastle in Northern Ireland, down as far as Newry on the fucking coast road. It would blow your fucking mind. Yeah. Up, driving up towards Ballycastle.
Yeah.
Up there, North Antrim. Jesus, where Brendan Rodgers comes from.
Spectacular.
It's stunning. And you can see Scotland.
It's only a couple of miles.
It's like you only about 12 Scotland. Miles, isn't it, across?
Yeah.
So you can understand how people from Northern Ireland have more in common with people from Scotland than do with people from Cork.
Yeah.
You know, because they can't see Cork.
Yeah. Some of them even have Scots
Gaelic, that little enclave right up around Bushmills and all that.
There would be only a very small pocket of people that have that kind of real sectarian feeling in them. And of course, the majority of people up there are integrated and they're all mixed. But like, it is sad to think in today's world. Now, I suppose when you think about it, they've moved on so much from the Troubles. Wasn't that long ago, and they're able to practically live in harmony now.
But it's not gone. That sectarian edge is not
this,
gone.
This obsession with flags kills me. Like, the minute you cross the border, you're either seeing blue, white, and red,
or the tricolour.
Yeah, it's just like nowhere else would you see so many flags. If you go to England, like, there's no flags everywhere. Like,
I walked in an Orange Order lodge. Doing a bit of filming years ago, where your man, what's his name, the guy who comes on like on that primetime show every night, gives out larger than life guy up the north, Nolan. You know Nolan?
Oh, Stephen Nolan.
Nolan swapped with me on radio for a week, and I went up to BBC Radio and did a breakfast show for a week, and he came down and did the breakfast show down here. So I went on a whistle stop tour of Belfast and did all that, but I walked in, there was a band getting ready for the marches. So I walked into they were in the community centre, the local lodge, and there was a march on that night, and they were all inside getting dressed up, and boom, 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 and there were lads. It was like preparing for a gig. There was hundreds of kids all over the place. It wasn't Gaelic music they were playing, but there was like beetle high pitched tin whistles, and there were lads in the corner all putting on their black. There was like the village band, and boom, boom, boom. There was one or two. Then the lads, all right, lads, we're nearly ready, boys. And I could feel, I was walking up the steps with a camera crew, and I could hear all this, and then there's all this stuff going on in my head going, oh my God, this is mad. I've seen it on telly so many times, and here I am in the middle of it, and they're going marching, and there's about four or five different bands, and he goes, Hector, you're very welcome to the lodge and all this. And I said, good. And so I was saying hello to all the people, and then hello to the boys, and then one lad put the strap up, he had a massive yoke, and he boom, 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 boom. So out we went, and he said to me as we walked, I said, can you tell me about the tunes you play? Tell me about these tunes.
Did you march with them?
Yes, with the camera crew. So we're walking down. I said, before that, what are you playing? What is the whole essence of this? And he's there, Hector, this is the call to action. This is a call to march. This is a call to the army. The more fervorish we play, and the more it goes on 5 and 6 and 10 minutes into the tune, and the more the boys can whip it up. Boom, boom, the man at the back. It's a whole tribal thing, isn't it? And I was trying to get to. And
they're all there with their big fucking beer bellies and bowler hats. They're some army.
Boom, boom, boom. But your man, he goes, Hector, you don't just beat that drum. He says, your man, he is the lad that's calling the tribe. He's like, boom, boom. Boom. And he says, the way you hit that drum sends a message to the rest of the instruments and the rest of the march. And it was very interesting. And then I'll never forget what he said after. About 3 hours later, all the marches were done. We'd gone through a few estates and they were decamping. And then he goes, Hector, what do you think of that? And I said, well, it was different. It was different. I was fucking fed up with it by the end of it.
It was different.
It went on and on and on and on and on and on for about 3 hours. The same fucking tunes, and the Catholic was rising up in me, and I was going, oh, Jesus, give me it. And then at the end of it, he was putting the drum back in the yoke, and a few of the boys were there. Hector, what do you think of that? And the camera was rolling. And I said, well, you know what, lads? I understand an awful lot more about it now. I do. And he goes, Hector, put it like this. You boys have your fucking GAA down there, don't you?
Well, we've got our margin. That's all he said. Now think about that. You've got your GAA. It's the biggest outpouring on this island of who we really are. And they're fighting up in that little enclave for anything they can hold on to give them some sort of an identity. Because the GAA is so strong, even in rural parts of the Ulster. But what a statement. You've got your GAA down there. It's the same thing with Scots Gaelic. Scots Gaelic has millions and millions of pounds invested in it. There's about, I don't know how many people speak it, Scots Gaelic. But you've got your Irish language, don't you? We've got our Scots Gaelic. There's an awful lot of tit for tat. And that side gets one and we need this.
I don't know.
They've got the GAA grant. We need the grant for this.
Yeah, but in the GAA, your enemy is ultimately your friend.
Yeah.
I just left the statement. And I didn't argue that.
Maybe perhaps in the marching thing.
Your enemy is your enemy.
We haven't maybe reached
that. I didn't engage with him. But you just said it. It's an interesting thought process.
Another thing that that strikes me, you know, people in the north know if you're from such and such a town that you're definitely either a Catholic or a Protestant. They know from your surname. They know from your first. It's just bizarre. Like we're completely removed from that down here. Your next door neighbour could be whatever surname and you wouldn't even know, and it doesn't matter, and they're part of your community and they play football or they play whatever, and it's just so different.
I stood in the middle of Cross McGlen with Oshie McConville and a few of the boys at the Cross McGlen pitch. I was doing a bit of filming, and when you could see the towers, he said the towers are all dismantled now around Cross McGlen. He said, but when we take to the pitch maybe 20 years ago, there'd be helicopters taken off halfway through the game. So the opposing team would always be looking up at the helicopters, the boys would be scoring a point.
Yeah.
I mean, but we don't understand it. That's what I'm saying. It could be a million miles away to a lot of people in this country. We haven't given enough interest or grow to that part.
And it's beautiful. I mean, you ever just even an ordinary drive through ordinary country up there, they weren't Egypt's. Like, the land is good.
And Belfast is a beautiful. You know, I think the spirit in Belfast, the fucking crack off. I was with Paddy Barnes and Michael Condon up there in a club. These boys, they're so
sharp sense of humour.
Sharp sense of humour.
Cut you down, like.
Absolutely. And you know, the wall will never come down between the Catholics and because the Berlin Wall. The walls in Belfast make more for the tourists. They're making £1 million. Take down the walls for what? The boys are having a field day. Do you know what I mean? Tourism. There's a whole industry set up there from it. But it's a great part of the world. A great part of the world.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Oh yeah. What's your favourite time of the day?
Oh.
Fucking I know exactly that.
Do you? What is it?
I don't really.
It's about 7:20.
7:20?
In the evening.
What happens?
Fire's on. We've a load of logs. I'll mix it with a few briquettes because I don't want to burn logs all the time. Because of a log shed now. And I love 7:20, 7:15. Cup of tea. Dark chocolate. One boy on the Xbox. Another lad waiting to go on the Xbox. And I'm stretched on the couch.
And you've the dinner out, have you?
I had the dinner long gone. She's tidied up and I've lit a candle in the kitchen to get the smell out of it. And left one window open. The dog is in the back. He's after being fed. And I'm just sprawled on my couch. Head to me watching the telly. I
love it.
Do you love that?
But is that in the winter time? Or do you like 20 past 7 in summer as well?
Filling the dishwasher, getting the dinner over, getting the fire on, getting into the telly and saying, what have we got for the night?
And what is it about that? What is it about when you think of all the other different people and energies in the house? What is it about what they're at that makes you happy at that time of the day?
Because I let a shout out. There's only one other tea drinker in the house. That's my eldest boy. And I go, Rian, want a cup of tea? Because we love that tea. The tea at about 7:30 in the evening. Two strong tea bags in two cups and a tiny bit of sugar. And what I'll do is I'll split a cream egg for him as well to spoil him. I'll get a Cadbury's cream egg and I'll split it with a knife. Beautiful sliver cut.
Nice.
And then I'll go into him and I'll say, here's a little treat for you. And if I've been doing a bit of physical work out the back where I was labouring or constructing or mixing cement or putting in a bit of 804 or a couple of ton
building
of,
the house.
Couple yeah. of ton of chippings arrived or I was can going, I was doing something, I was building something or taking
you'd realise you'd fallen asleep on the couch and you were
dreaming.
Yeah,
I've me work done. I've me work done at that stage. I've the physical work done. I've the boots at the back. I've me the sopping wet and the dinner be on and the dinner's over and I'd help clean up. I love cleaning up and getting into this sitting room and the fire on. I love it at 7:30 in the evening. I'm a simple man.
What's your favourite time of the day, Larissa?
I don't know. Like, I do like the evening time too when you don't have any commitments or anywhere to go. Or
it's a big one, isn't it, in Ireland? What's on? A fucking meeting above in the hall. We've a fucking meeting above the train
and the meeting about the lotto or something like that. But like, yeah, I'm not really sure. I told you before Friday evening at 7:00 was my favourite time of the week.
Why is that now?
Because I can, it's the weekend and it's the one time of freedom that you have.
Okay.
Nothing on Saturday. Generally can be hungover. Go out on a Friday night. Brilliant. Well, you know, previously. But
my favourite. My favourite time of the day. I have two actually.
Two favourite times?
Yes. And but no, that's not. They're extremes. But I have to mention both of them.
Okay.
First favourite time of the day is when we have when the family sits around the dinner table. We have a round table in the kitchen and we all sit around and more often than not, my beautiful wife Yvonne, who I love very much, she cooks the dinner.
Dick.
And the five of us sit down and it is just to their habit. The habit of, it's the only time of the day where the five of us are together. And I love that. I love the moment when my 19-year-old daughter picks up the phone to me. I love the sound of her voice. And she said, I love that. I love getting a text from my 27-year-old. You know, I love having a fucking a walk around Galway with me 21-year-old. The things I fucking adore. But my favourite other time of the day, apart from the dinner, is about 6:30 in the morning. No, I'm not allowed to get up anymore.
What?
I'm not allowed to get up.
Why?
Because I wake too many other people up and it makes me too tired in the evening. But when
you're like a child, you have to stay in bed.
No, we see if
stay in bed now, Tammy.
No, you see, if I get up at 6:30, then I'm fucking, I'm wanting to be falling asleep around 9:30 that evening, and I'm no crack. So, the family asked me. They asked
to stay
me
in bed
to stay in bed and not be getting up at 6:30.
But do you wake up anyway?
I don't usually wake up, but I used to love it. It's the fuck. The sap is rising.
Yeah, and he's a lot mad for the sap.
And I go for a little walk from the kitchen down to the shed.
What are you wearing? Are you in pyjamas?
I would be wearing my pyjamas and
silk pyjamas.
No, they're cotton, pure cotton, and I have a cardigan, a cashmere cardigan that got me honeymoon.
Have your socks
in
on
Venice, and I have
slippers,
a pair of Weltons and a big pair of woolly socks, and I walk out. And you can feel the fucking energy rising up of the grass at 6:30 in the morning. The sun is not long riz, and there's fucking, there's dew, there's energy, there's a fucking, the world is at its best. The world gets tired around fucking, it gets used. The world is second hand by the time you reach the fucking afternoon. Everyone's had a go of it. Whatever air you're breathing has been breathed before. There's no crack in the afternoon. But the morning time, fuck me.
Yeah.
It's like
virginal.
It's like every atom that you can lay your hand or eye on is singing the fucking hallelujah chorus. Oh, hallelujah, sing hallelujah. It's fucking, birds are fucking optimistic. The grass is in a good mood. Everything is just fucking, I love that.
You love the morning.
Yeah, I like that too. I don't get up that often at that time of the morning, but when you do, it feels like the world hasn't decided what it's going to be like for the day.
That's the perfect thing. Do you know what? That's,
isn't
that's
it?
Shapeshifter consciousness.
Yeah.
That means it could be a world. It could be a fucking, it could be a dream house. It's pregnant with possibility.
Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And you don't, the weather hasn't decided if it's going to be nice or wet.
You don't know.
Sort of around between five and half, six. It's, or between five and six, it's still that, I might be a wet day, or it might be a sunny day, or it might just be, you know, and that's, and as you said, there's nobody else has taken advantage of that. So there is a vulnerability with the world and the day. And I do like that. And you get into the car and there's not much people on the road. Like, and you can decide then what sort of a day you're
getting the first go of it.
Yeah. That's very true, actually. Yeah,
there is a nice junction then, say, on a late February, when them starlings, and we've seen them starlings, those murmurings, late February, early March, about 5:30. And I saw it 2 weeks ago, and I have a photo on my phone to verify this. About 5:30 on the end of February, there was that lovely dry spell we had.
In the evening, is it?
In the evening. I looked over, there's a hay shed over the stone walls in the field. As I look towards Barna, I can see the turbines that are in the back of Barna from my house. The sun was setting. It was a beautiful February sky, late February sky, but the turbines were spinning in the sunset over Barna. And I'm about 20 miles across the lake and I could see it in the distance. I ran out and I ran down the garden, ran into the field and I took a photo. And I said,
"You're like a dog. I ran out of the house and ran down the garden and I ran into the field." To go
me and Rocco, I said, "Come on!" But the phone couldn't zoom in on it, but it was magnificent. I could see the turbines on the mountains behind Barna.
They're a curse. The turbines are a curse.
Stop, they're great. They're giving you power. It's the future.
That fucking electricity has been sold onto England. That's the fucking shame of it.
Will you stop? I'm trying to paint a great picture of the evening sky at half five.
I tell you one thing, it's no great picture if there's fucking turbines in it.
I was going to show you the photo.
Fine if they're far away, Tommy.
Can you see that? Can you see that there? Look, can you see? I can see the turbines.
The moon?
Yeah, look, that's the sunset.
That's the sun, Larissa. As I say, not more. It's either one or the other.
So it doesn't make any difference.
Look at that. And I just said to myself,
that's not a turbine. They're electricity wires.
I just said to myself, Mother Nature is good.
And what the fuck does Mother Nature have to do with turbines?
No, killing all the blinking birds.
The sunset was beautiful. That 5:30, the starlings are out. It's that start of spring. There's some great times of the day.
I tell you, if I had a fucking robust enough hatchet and a few strong lads, I'd fucking cut turbine. That's what I'd do overnight. I'd head out in me fucking infrared Jeep.
Combat gear on.
Lights that shine and no one can see that you're driving. And I'd cut the fucking turbines down. I hate them. They're a blight on the landscape.
They need to be embraced.
They're being constructed for individual profit, not for community well-being. And that's the fucking fact of it now.
Well, I just saw.
It's beyond my capacity to get involved in that conversation because I don't really understand a lot about it.
I'm just talking about what they look like.
Yeah,
they're fucking hideous.
They're not
hideous.
Ah, Tommy, like, what do you want? The big pylons going through a field, the big monster pylons. We've got to realise that this country has great wind. We don't harness nothing. Let's stick with the fossil fuels and the oil and the petrol and the diesel. No, the wind. The wind of change is coming. There's 25 turbine factories, thousands of them ready to go off Dublin.
Arseholes.
Off Dublin fucking Bay. It's when you go to Sweden or Copenhagen, you fly into Copenhagen Airport, there's thousands of wind turbines. So the Danes have all free electricity. Mm. I'll tell you an interesting thing about turbines.
Yes.
There's a rule in this country, and I think it's a disgrace.
Oh, yeah.
In any other country in Europe, you can put in a domestic turbine at the back of your house, which is not a monstrosity. It's almost like them small windmills you'd have in a country homestead in America in the Midwest. You could have a lovely windmill down the bottom. It would produce enough electricity for you and your neighbours, and you can sell it back to the grid. In France, you get 50-something cent when you sell it back to the grid. So they're paying you for your electricity.
Yes,
yes. They're promoting this. In Ireland, they give you 19 cent if you produce anything. If I'm a private producer, if I have a wind turbine in the back of my house, there's no incentive to do nothing here. And I agree with you, Tommy. The rich are getting richer with turbines, while us are paying hand over fist for our fucking electricity.
Sure.
It's a joke.
The wind turbines look like an ad from a future that I want no hand or fucking part in.
I'm on about the small little windmill at the back of your house, Tommy.
You won't need to worry about it anyway because you won't be out mixing with other people.
You never
You'll be staying in your own house and the wind turbines will not have any effect on you. What? So
they hurt my eyes.
When you go up close
they offend my sense of Irishness.
Like, do you ever hear a turbine?
Why, what would you...
Rumpf. It's hideous, rumpf, hideous. Rumpf. War of the Worlds, like these fucking demon electrical monsters coming to fucking eat your soul. I hate them. I fucking hate them.
You drive out of Newcastle West and you go over the hill. You know what I'm talking about? You're on the road to Killarney, going down to Abbeyfield, and you come up over Newcastle West, and there's the part of the road where two cars can overtake for about a mile up a hill. And then over the brow of the hill, there's about 700 rumpf, rumpf turbines in the distance. I do agree with you, they're eyesores, but for fuck's sake,
they're massive though.
Let's harness the wind.
They were bringing them back to Belmullet out to put them out in the water, you know, and I don't know where they were taking them from, but they had to come through Ballina, and they had to do it in the middle of the night, and they had, you know, all the cars had to be moved.
Yes.
So anyway, I went out, me and Audrey went out one night, and I couldn't get somebody to drop me into town, so I said I'd drive and leave the car there for the night. Drove, parked it across the door from the pub, went into the pub, had a great night, went in the next day to pick up the car. The car was gone in Ballina. My car was... So I drove around twice, drove around a third time, and I said, geez, I rang Audrey. We didn't drive home last night, did we? No, we weren't that drunk, no. She said, where'd you park the car? Outside, we parked at XYZ. Yeah, no problem. I said, the car's not there.
Can I just interrupt you for a second? Isn't that a great Mayo saying? Well, we didn't drive home last night. And the response, no, we weren't that drunk.
So I rang the guards and I said, hello, I said, Larissa Blue is here. I said, I don't want to alarm you, but I said, it appears that my car has been stolen in Ballina. And he was like, he started laughing about me. And he says, where was it stolen from? And I said, it was stolen from Garden Street. And he said, right. And what kind of a car was it? And I said, it was a Volkswagen Tiguan, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, and he says, when do you think it got stolen? I says, I don't know. I said, I went out last night being very responsible. I left the car in town. And anyway, it turns out the wind turbines were being transported through the town. They towed my car away.
That's the power of the turbines.
But there was a bridge in Galway that wasn't tall enough for the wind turbines to be driven through it on their way out to Connemara.
Yeah.
So they spent 6 months making the road deeper. They spent down by the docks. They spent
really?
6 months.
Is that what they did that for?
So the bridge was there,
yeah,
right, and they couldn't tighten the bridge because it was on top of it was train tracks. So they tried to deepen the road. I tell you, I hate them. One of the things I'm grateful for about living in Galway is I have a view of the Burden from the road, and I love it. The beautiful, unspoilt, protected Burden. But I do feel sorry for the fuckers living over there in Fernore who are looking over this way, and all they see is a fucking apostle loads of turbines up in the hill. Their view is fucking spoiled.
Yeah.
I'd have no truck with them now.
Well.
No.
That's the end of that conversation.
That's all from us this week, everybody. We really hope you've enjoyed the show. And mind yourselves down the road.
And don't forget, of course, our single is still at large and can be downloaded for 99 cent. Mick Constantine. Brilliant song. Great crack.
All proceeds.
Loads of people are enjoying it.
To the Mayo.
If you haven't heard it yet, it's
and one final word of wisdom, just fucking go to the chipper and change it up.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.